The bye week is over. Let's get back to business.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. Auburn escapes the bye week with no loss. So let's get fired up. No, we have our bye week this week. SEC had some incredible matchups. Should give us a pretty good idea of what we have to look for over the next six weeks, especially the next three, where you really need to go on a run. We'll talk about those and everything that goes along with those. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use that coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $250. They're going to give you $250 more back to play with absolutely free by just using that coupon code. You can get all kinds of college football lines, NFL lines, doesn't matter. You name the sport, they got the line for it. So mybookie.ag. Auburn is done with their bye week, so it's back to business. Some guys got to go home for vacation. Guys got to go see family over the weekend. Got to watch a little bit of football elsewhere. A lot of things, but overall, we're done. We're done with the bye week. We're done with the break, much-needed break, and now it's time to get back to business. It's time to get ready for a very, very gettable stretch of games, a very, very gettable stretch of three games where Auburn could, hey, I mean, if we're being honest, Auburn's good enough to go on a run right here to go over the next three games. You could really win the next three games. It's not going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. I'm sorry. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy, but we'll see. We'll have to obviously see what happens. Let's talk a little bit. We don't typically do this. We typically just talk about Auburn. So let's talk about the rest of the SEC and what we've seen so far, and then an overall theme that I'm seeing that I think is going to be something to pay attention to moving forward. So obviously, Missouri's the big one. Okay, Missouri's the next game that we have up, and they just absolutely beat the you-know-what out of Massachusetts 45-3. They're leading one of their leading receivers, Luther Burden. Luther Burden III, he has four touchdowns on the year. I think he got dinged up in that game, so that's definitely going to be something to watch over the next week. Watch those injury reports. What happens with Luther Burden, because he helps make that offense go. They're not mega explosive as I thought. Like, when you actually go back and look at the numbers, they're not just like super-duper explosive. And you know what? Their schedule, for the most part, has been trash. Pure, unadulterated trash. I mean, they start off Murray State 51-0, have a party. Buffalo 38-0, throw confetti. Boston College, they sneak out a win there. They go to double overtime versus Vandy, which is basically is becoming the best win on everybody's schedule. If you play Vandy and knock them off, they could make a run for the AFC North, apparently. And then Texas A&M, they get completely railroaded 41-10, and then they play UMass and they beat on those children 45-3. So that's the big game. To me, that's the big game that we have to win, in my opinion. Auburn has to win that game. And you get to play them with a week off. Technically, they kind of got a week off too, but you play them a week off and you play them at 11 o'clock. So I think that could be a game. Defensively, they're not just spectacular. They're good enough. And then offensively, I think they're just middle of the pack. They're just middle of the road offensively as well. So Auburn's kind of played right there in that sweet spot as well on both sides of the ball. So can you limit the turnovers, protect the ball, and just sort of win ugly? Vanderbilt does this. Like, Vanderbilt obviously knocks off Kentucky, and we're going to get to that Kentucky and Vanderbilt in just a minute. But, like, can you win a game ugly? I know we want to win games pretty, where we just blow folks out, cover the spread, all that good stuff. But hey, let's win a game ugly. Let's win one. I think winning in a week in general is going to, the value of just a win in general is going to become more and more important than how you win, I think, in college football in general moving forward. I mean, just go look at some of the games. I mean, last week you had like, I don't know exactly the number, but you had at least over five of the top 20 teams in the country lose. You had one, I think two, nine. I mean, there was a bunch of top 10 teams that lost last week. And then this week, obviously, you had Alabama kind of on the ropes a little bit at home versus South Carolina. And I know a lot of people, especially Auburn fans, laughing a little bit. Hey, Alabama's got to get it together. Alabama's falling apart, blah, 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 blah. Hey, at this point in time, everybody's got players. You just got to win. And Vanderbilt is a prime example of that. They are just figuring out ways to win. It's ugly on every single metric that you can possibly come up with. It's gross, but they're figuring out ways to win. And Auburn's got to do that, and they got to start it this weekend. So Missouri obviously coming up. It's not to me of the conference games you're going to play. Even counting Vanderbilt, this could be the easiest conference game I think that you're going to have. And that's with Vanderbilt at home. It's kind of crazy to say that, but I think this is if you talk about must win, as far as Auburn needs to have wins this year to possibly sneak their way into a bowl game or at least salvage something out of the year, this is one that's a must have. It's almost a must have. So I'm going to be interested to see how the storylines come out this weekend. There was no press conferences this past week. So you'll start to hear a lot of the rhetoric, the matchups, the questions that are asked about, Auburn versus Missouri, what to expect from them. You'll hear a lot of that throughout the week, and we'll talk about those. And then obviously the injury reports, who's ready. Auburn was dinged up, really, really needed this week off to kind of rest and get better. All of that stuff is going to be very, very important moving forward. So we got Missouri coming up. I want to hit the SEC as best as I can. You got Kentucky next. Look, Kentucky has I don't really know what to expect out of Kentucky, because they play really, really good defense. Okay, so they're not a bad defensive team at all. They play really, really good defense, but their offense is putrid. And I'm not talking about from an Auburn standpoint where they turn the ball over. They just don't move the ball, period. They just do not move the ball at all. Brock Vandegrift, the guy that, bless his heart, Auburn expected to have him transfer here every single year, it seemed like, that the transfer portal was open. He finally transfers and he goes to Kentucky, and he's just not that good. I mean, he's just not that good. Like, he's not that – he doesn't really move the needle for them. So you go to Kentucky. Kentucky's kind of reeling. I feel like that's an opportunity. That's a really good opportunity for Auburn. You just protect the ball. You flex your muscles on both sides of the ball. You can win that game. Vanderbilt. You have Vanderbilt at home. Look, Diego Pavia, we talked about him. He should run for office in the state of Alabama. He's the state of Alabama slayer. Like, he kills it. In the state of Alabama. He's knocked off Alabama now. He's knocked off Auburn. And he knocked off Liberty when Hugh was at Liberty. Like, he's kind of a giant slayer, even without putting up incredible numbers. He just kind of goes out there unathletically, it seems like, and then gets it done. It's crazy how he just sort of makes it happen. So that one is sort of that one's a little bit to me of an unknown. I mean, they run that keep the ball away from you, triple-ish option type offense where they're just going to dink and dunk you and hold the ball as long as they possibly can. If they can have the ball 40 minutes plus, they're going to try to do it and put you in a bind to where you feel like Auburn feels, or whoever they play, feels like they have to press, feels like they have to make up ground, and then – you know, you bog down one or two drives and then they just continue to hold it, hold it, hold it, and then kick field goals or score touchdowns. It's really tough. So as we keep going through this, if you got questions, hit it in the chat and we will get to them in just a little bit. So obviously that three game stretch is very, 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 very important. Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, it really has a feel of the run of this way the schedule lays out of the run that Auburn went on last year when they took down Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Vanderbilt. I know that Missouri's going to be ranked a little bit higher. I know Kentucky's probably better than either one of those two teams from last year. But hey, I mean, that to me, that's the way this little setup feels to me. It's a chance for Auburn to go on a run. And if Auburn can go 3-0 in the next three games, there starts to be a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, because obviously ULM is beatable. Texas A&M is becoming, to me, maybe the toughest game to win out of the next six games, and that includes Alabama, because obviously we've seen that Alabama is vulnerable. Now, Alabama, you know, regardless of how vulnerable they actually are, they did pull out the win against South Carolina at home. Now, used to, that game would be a 30-35-point blowout. But, hey, look, everybody's got players now. Even South Carolina's got some players. They got some game-changing defensive ends. They got some really good players on offense. They got a tight end who's unbelievable. I hope that, you know, when it goes into the portal season, that somehow you can get that tight end from South Carolina to come to Auburn, because he's an absolute stud. So everybody's got players now. So that's the way the schedule lays out, the way the SEC in general is. You know, Georgia went deep with Mississippi State, only won by 10 points. Like, Kirby shoved a kid. Like, Kirby shoved a Mississippi State quarterback. Now, granted, I want to take up for him a little bit and say that he was looking past that kid and shoved him, but still – it's crazy, man. It's crazy how everything is playing out. It's crazy how it seems that open the SEC is. The importance of style points to me is going away. Now you just got to figure out how to win. So the bye week's over. We got to get back to business. Got to get some wins. Got to get some wins under our belt, and got to make a charge trying to make a little bit of postseason, even if it's not playoffs, make the bowl season and just continue to build some excitement to go ahead and close this class out and move forward. So switching gears, talking about that class, recruiting, Auburn adds a wide receiver, Sam Turner. We talked about him on Friday. He had a game this past weekend, went into, I think, either if not single overtime, double overtime, and he made catch after catch after catch, had a big game. Maybe have had, if not the game-winning touchdown, the go-ahead touchdown in overtime. He just seems like he is one of those under-the-radar kids that is going to come in with a little bit – one of those Georgia kids that are going to come in with a chip on his shoulder that was fired up, that Deuce was added to the class, and good size and ready to go. So it's another kid that – when I talk about how recruits don't view things the same way that we view it, this is a prime example. This is a prime example of how recruits look at opportunities. Recruits understand momentum. Recruits understand how things really play out, and they don't just look at box scores. They look at opportunities to play. They look at the system. They look at production, and even though it hasn't produced wins, the production from the box score, it has been very, very attractive. I would imagine if you're a recruit and you got a little bit, you're just looking at Auburn, especially on the offensive side, and you're like, man, what's the deal here? But I look and they're throwing for 250 yards a game plus, and they got a receiver that's on the Biletnikoff Award watch list. Like, there's a lot of positives there that you can spin and you can sell to recruit. So look, bye weeks, there's not a lot of content. I'm just going to be honest. Like, it's tough. It's tough to talk and find stuff to talk about in a bye week. It seems like Auburn did all the things during the bye week that are productive, that lead to, you know, positive things coming out of a bye week. Now, the big story is you got a week off. You had some practices. You got healthy. How do you take those 2 weeks and what do you do to be able to turn it so that you can charge forward these last six games and maybe make some noise? Because the SEC is gettable, guys. It's gettable. It's the most gettable I can remember. And it's because of the portal. It's because of NIL being able to, you know, those guys, those one or two guys that go to Mississippi State, that go to Kentucky, you know, those guys that typically would go to Alabama or Georgia, you know, the money's there. That they're getting players. Those guys are getting players. So Georgia and Alabama and your top teams are not able to just continue to stack and stack and stack and stack because they got to come to the table for all of them, because other teams are you know, they got money too to spend. So I think that's honestly what we're seeing. So forget winning by 30 points. Like, we just got to win. Just figure out ways to win. I don't care if it looks like Vanderbilt. Yeah, I want statistics. Yeah, I want this. Yeah, I want that. But let's just get some dubs. Let's get some dubs and get rolling. So that's all I got. I mean, there's not a ton. There was just not a ton going on this weekend. It does seem like Andrew Babalola, that's one thing. He started getting some crystal balls to Michigan. I think Auburn pushed really, really hard here at the end to get him. But it seems like Auburn may just be a little bit behind the eight ball there. He's really, really tight with the head coach there. Michigan's got, obviously, they churn out first round offensive linemen, top draft pick offensive linemen over and over again. So he's a very level headed kid. So I'm sure he has waited all the way out. And NIL is probably the last thing on the menu, so to speak. And, you know, it seems like it's headed that way. It seems like it's headed that he goes to Michigan. And if that's the case, I think Auburn's done on the offensive line. You may still push for Malachi Goodman to see if you can flip him from Penn State. But I think all in all, Auburn may be done on the offensive line. So that's all I really have for tonight. I want to get into the questions. I want to make this show about you guys. So let's get into the chat. Let's have some fun. There's a lot of stuff already in there. And we will, you know, we'll hit those. But if you want to make sure that your chat question gets answered, hit the super chat and we'll roll. So let's go ahead and go through this. So let's hit the first one. Hey, TK, what's new, C5? Please pump some sunshine. If not, I will. Look, there's nobody on this planet. There's nobody on this planet. If you take me off of it, there's nobody on this planet that's more positive about Auburn than TK. Whether it be in the comments, in YouTube videos, in the chat. This dude's in every single video, every single show we do. He's in the chat talking. And the guy, he's realistic, which I love, because I don't think everything has to be skies falling. And I think there is a lot of sunshine to pump. I think Auburn is primed to go, like, could possibly go on a little run here. Like I said, just like last year. So I know there's nobody on this planet looking forward to it more than TK. So TK, thank you. And thank you for being in here every single game. I love it. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Luke Ford. This is a great, great question. Okay. Does Justice Terry's visit mean anything, or is he just messing around? If you miss the news, there are reports Justice Terry, some places he's a five-star defensive lineman. Some places he's the highest four-star defensive lineman from the state of Georgia. He was committed to USC forever, decommitted. Now he seems like everybody's saying he's going to Georgia. Just comes out and says he's coming on an official visit to Auburn in November. Some say the Vandy game. We'll see. I think it's going to be either the Vandy game or the Texas A&M game. It is not a courtesy visit, okay? This is not just I'm going on a tour because I'm just going to, you know, be nice to Auburn and say hello. No, look, this is one. And if whether it's in a group text or on a message board or whatever, this is one that Auburn's been working on behind the scenes for a very, very long time. And there were times when in the summer, when things were hot and heavy, you thought you'd get a little bit more momentum headed in that direction with Justice Terry. But, you know, the way the season started off, you had some losses. That noise behind the scenes had started to die down a little bit. And then all of a sudden lately, it's picked back up again. And I think with when you look at the way the board's shaping out and some of the big names, like just throw it out, Usman Khroma, Caleb Cunningham, throw some names out, some guys that Auburn was in on. I mean, I guess you could say Andrew Babalola maybe, that Auburn had felt like they were in the mix for. Now that started to fade. Well, you've got, I mean, it just kind of is what it is, but you've got NIL kind of promise to those guys. Now you got to spend. And Justice Terry is one that Auburn would love to make a huge splash with. You're talking about a possible program changing defensive tackle, Derek Brown level defensive lineman. Again, heavy, heavy lean to Georgia. Every single like expert is predicting him there, but he has said he's coming to Auburn for a visit. And I don't think it's just to say hello. I think there is some significant interest here. And we'll just have to see how it, you know, how everything plays out, how the visits play out, but they're going to push as hard as they possibly can for this kid. And I definitely don't think it's just a, let me give you a high five, come get a hamburger and say hello. I think this is a serious, serious visit. Great, great question, Luke. I'm glad you brought that up. So let's keep going. Mr. Beautiful, a four-game win streak would be delicious. Hey, you've got it kind of set up. If you're going to go on one, you got Missouri, who I think is beatable. I think Auburn opened actually as a 7.5-point underdog, which is kind of shocking, to be honest. At 11 o'clock, out of a bye week, that's kind of shocking to me. You got Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Louisiana Monroe. So, I mean, if you're going to go on a four-game win streak, this is the best time to do it. This is the four games that are the most gettable. So definitely need to go on one here. Let's see. Let's keep going. Wardam. Okay. I don't know if this is a personal shot or not. So Wardam Golf, hope you had a good weekend. Won my local club's member this weekend. Well, we had our member too at my club. And I don't know if you're the guy that's in our same flight that came and said hello, but there was some scorecard issues in my tournament, and we got knocked out based off of a scorecard discrepancy. So if you're Gary, congratulations. You guys played great, but I'm still a little salty about it. But hey, if it's not Wardam Golf, congratulations. This was perfect member weekend. This was a perfect tournament weekend at the Auburn University Club. We had ours this weekend. It was a lot of fun. It's always on the bye week in October, something we look forward to every single year. So congrats to Wardam Golf. You won the bye week, baby. You won the bye week. Way to go. Let's see. Ernest Vaughn. Do we know if we're getting night games in Jordan Hare when they get back home? We don't 100% know yet. We do not 100% know yet because we've been given those certain slots, but not like a 100% night game slot. It's like it's still sort of kind of up in the air. It seems like all of them, especially the good ones, are going to be more along the lines of being in the afternoon. I don't know that we're going to have another true night game at Jordan Hare, especially not one that like really matters, which is unfortunate. Even the ULM game's at 11:45. Kentucky's away game is at night. Vanderbilt's at home. It's early. Texas A&M's in that flex spot, which flex means anywhere from 2:30 to 5:30. So even that's not going to be a true night game. Even though at November 25th, it'll be daylight savings time will be ended. So it'll probably be dark sooner than, you know, it'll be dark for the vast majority of the game. But no, there's no true night game left, which is kind of a bummer. If you really think about it, I mean, your true night game was what? New Mexico and Alabama A&M. That's just not ideal. At Auburn. So we got to hopefully get those scheduled. You know what else? You know what solves that, though? You play better, you're the primetime game. So you win games, you become the primetime game, and then you're playing night games instead of 11:30 and 2:30 games. So I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's a – I don't know. That's kind of it for the rest of the season. There's just not any – there's not any true night games, which is kind of a bummer. Let's keep going. Let's keep going here. Let's see here. NH3425. It does bother me. Our defense only has, I think, two turnovers this year. Definitely need to convert more turnovers on defense. Let's see what that stat actually is. Turnover margin can be misleading a little bit. And I agree with you a tad, because even if your turnover margin is good, if you're not creating turnovers, then you got issues. So Auburn has four interceptions. So right off the bat, we know that's not true. So four interceptions. And then I think turnover margin. Here we go. Turnover margin, Auburn has gained four. So there's four total turnovers. Four total turnovers for the whole year you've created, but you've lost 15 turnovers. So you're still at a negative 11 turnover margin. So that's definitely something that needs to change. You need to force some fumbles, need to pick, turn some balls over. Like that's you got to be able to do that. But yeah, it's a little bit more than two, but not much more than two. So yeah, you got to create more turnovers. But all in all, I mean, it's hard to complain about how the defense has played. I feel like they've kept us in every single game this year to be able to try to win. All right, let's keep going. Yeah, Roderick Montgomery's been paying attention. A win is a win at this point in time. Absolutely. Hey, you just got to win at this point in time. You don't have to win. You don't have to win by 20. There's no style points. I feel like style points don't matter nearly as much as just winning. Just win. They go a long, long way. Let's see here. NH3425 again. Kentucky is Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. Hopefully we'll get the, whichever one of those is bad. I don't know. Is it Jekyll is the one that's bad or is it Hyde? I don't know. But regardless, you hope you catch the bad one here in a couple of weeks. Let's see here. Ernest, are we expecting much change this Saturday that Auburn has been doing with a bye week and all? So from a personnel standpoint, I don't think there's going to be much difference. I think you'll see who you've seen. I would expect Peyton to start. You may start seeing a little bit more younger guy at receiver getting a little bit more run. Malcolm snaps going up, Perry snaps going up. Like maybe you start seeing some of those guys change up. But as far as, I mean, I saw a tweet go out from Auburn football that Auburn leads the country in defensive snaps from freshmen in the whole country. And I think they're somewhere in the top 10 in freshmen overall. So it's Auburn's playing a ton of young guys. So as far as like, should they be, throwing the season away and playing a lot of young guys? I mean, they're already playing a ton of young guys. I don't expect a whole lot of changes overall. I really don't. I think this is going to – the biggest thing is do we let it loose or do we try to protect the ball with Peyton? Hopefully a lot of the communication issues were remedied over the last 2 weeks, and it's – maybe you just get back to business and get rolling, get throwing the ball, get to where you're throwing the ball up and down the field and making it happen. Great question here, Johnny Barner. Only question worth asking is where's the top button? Can't have a top button podcast with no top button. This feels like blasphemy. Hey, look, I'll wear a hoodie every now and then, but if I'm going to have a polo on, it's going to be buttoned up. Now, I will say this. I played golf today. I was wearing a shirt, and I did not have my top button buttoned. It was a little hot, but somebody came up to me and says, "You're a fraud. You're a fraud. You don't have your top button buttoned. What are you doing with yourself?" So, I made it a point to, from that point on, if you ever see me in public with a button, with a polo shirt on, I'm going to have it buttoned up. Now, there may be some mornings where I, or evenings where I just want to throw on a hoodie and roll. And that just is what it is. But if it's going to, if it's got buttons on it from now on, dadgum, it's going to be buttoned up. So we're just going to go, we're going to go with that. great question, TK. No more politics on did he change the play or not. Seriously, simplified game plans and call plays will be a thing. Less RPO game. I'm with you. No more politics. We're not going to go catchphrase and we're not going to go for the headlines and we're not going to talk about that stuff anymore. It just kind of is what it is. We need to figure out how we're going to handle these RPOs. We got to figure out who we're going to make sure that we give – make sure that Jarquez is the answer a lot more times than not, and just kind of move on from there. We have a super chat from Thomas Jones coming in. Our boy Thomas Jones, he's here every week. I'll be on the lookout for that one. It's come through. So, Thomas, hit me with the question, and we'll definitely jump to it in just a second. Let's keep going through here. Here we go. Steve Bradley. This has been a topic of conversation for a while. Go ahead and play Hank or Walker. If we lose, it's not because we haven't tried. I noticed yesterday that many teams were playing a freshman at quarterback. It's a great question, and it's a great point of view to look through. Okay, but here's my rebuttal to that, Steve. Okay, you look at Peyton's thrown 6 interceptions. Okay, now I understand. One of them caught was a pick six that cost you the game at Oklahoma. He made a what seems to be, I'm not going to call it a check. I'm just going to call it a read. Whether the read was installed or not, he made a very crucial read that a lot of people did not seem to be on the same page with at Georgia. That may or may not have led to a touchdown, that may or may not have changed the outcome of the game. He's made some crucial mistakes, but if you look at his interceptions, he's thrown 6 interceptions, 2 of which have gone off the hands of the receiver that anybody, any receiver that wants to be a top receiver in the conference, in the country, wants to be an NFL receiver, makes that play 10 times out of 10. So he's had 2 of them go off hands. He's had one where the receiver admitted he ran the incorrect route. And then he's had one that he may or may not have held the ball too long and was hit while he's throwing it. So let's just say he did hold the ball too long. So he's had 4 interceptions, 2 of them off the hands of receivers. 3 interceptions that were completely his fault that you could say were his fault. And then 3 more interceptions, 2 off the hands of receivers and 1 where the receiver said he ran the wrong route. Where you look at Hank, and I love Hank, okay? Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not a Hank basher. I'm pretty sure I campaigned for Hank to get the start, okay? Hank started against Arkansas, and he had 3 interceptions where he made 3 incorrect decisions, okay? So 3 interceptions in 1 half where they were all on him, okay? Bad decision on the first play that got tipped by a linebacker, intercepted. God-awful decision on the second one where he just stared down the receiver, and it was intercepted. And then he sailed one on the last one, and it ended up getting picked off. So, I mean, on top of that, you're probably going to bring in a portal quarterback to be the starting quarterback for 2025. So, as far as building for the future, that I don't think either one of those guys are going to be starting next year. So it seems sort of like a throwaway. And still, I go back to, I think Peyton gives you the best chance to win. So do you want to try to win? Do you want, what's the best way that you can possibly win 4 out of the next 6 games, 3 out of the next 6 games, whatever? I think it's with Peyton. I don't think it's really any, I really don't think there's much of an argument. I really don't think there's much of a discussion otherwise. I think Peyton gives you the best chance to win. I totally understand playing young guys, trying to move forward, but I think this team, I think it's unfair to put in the guy just because he's a freshman and not the guy that gives you the best chance to win. So I think Peyton's the guy for the rest of the year. But I understand your point of view. Let's keep going. Let's see. There's a good question. James Rutten. Harder game, Vandy or Missouri? If you'd asked me this last week, I would have said the harder game would have been Missouri 100 times out of 100. But I'm starting to think maybe the Vandy game may be a little bit tougher, even though Missouri did beat Vandy. They did go to overtime, I think, and Vandy won late. But I still think I'm still leaning towards Missouri being the tougher game, but it's coming close where I think Vandy may be – their style of offense may frustrate us because we're aggressive, we're fast, but I'm wondering if we have to sit back and read these option plays that they run, how that affects us. So I'm curious to see how it plays off. As of right now, I'm still Missouri, but it could be Vandy. Here we go, Thomas Jones. I'm not a Deion fan, but you know if he pushed a quarterback like Kirby did, accident or not, CNN would lead the first story of the hour. There's a lot of truth to this, okay? Deion does get a lot of headlines, good and bad. A lot of times bad, whether it's, you know, for numerous reasons, okay? Kirby, there's nobody talking about this. There's nobody that's saying a word about this, and it's kind of shocking because even if it was an accident, let's say it was an accident. Let's say he did not mean to make contact with the kid. If you haven't seen the replay, just look it up. Mississippi State's quarterback scrambles, does not even get a first down, and it looks like Kirby's trying to yell at a referee or another coach on his sideline. And as he's running towards whoever he's about to chew out, the quarterback from Mississippi State is coming back through the sideline, the Georgia sideline, to get back on the field. But as he's coming back on the field, he's crossing Kirby's path as Kirby's going to yell at someone. And I truly believe this. I truly believe Kirby did not see him, was not even thinking that's who that was, or maybe thinking it's one of his own players because he's looking past him, and he shoves him. I mean, and it's not a love tap. Like, it's a big shove. And I mean, I'm with Thomas a little bit. I think if that had been Deion, it would have been a lot bigger story. But it's kind of shocking to me that that you don't see this anywhere. So it's I think he at least needs to, you know, answer a question or two about it. So guys out there, media guys that like to ask really dumb questions that are irrelevant, somebody ask Kirby about that. Let's ask Kirby about that shove. Like, hey, what was the deal there? Did you see him? What's going on? Because I think it should be more of a talking point than it actually is. Let's keep going. A couple more, and we're going to call it. We're going to call it a night, and just get this week kicked off and get it rolling. Oh, Jeff, can you imagine? You want to talk about like Zach says? Could you imagine? Can you imagine if Hugh pushed an opposing team's quarterback? Oh my gosh, he might be in jail right now. Hugh might be in prison, in shackles and chains. They would be singing from, you know, the rooftops. We got to do something about Hugh. He's reckless. He's this. He's that. Oh, there's no doubt. It would be awful. Let's see. This is a good question. If you could pick any possible transfer quarterback, who you picking? Who should the AU fans be looking for? Well, look, all right, let's just go with – let me pull up college football stats right now. We're going to go to national leaders, and we're going to go passing. So let's go to passing. We're going to look at guys that could possibly come back next year. You got obviously Josh Hoover from TCU. I want a Power 5 guy that's got some experience. So you got Josh Hoover from TCU. I don't think he had a great game this past week, but that's somebody to watch. Let's see. Looks like Cincinnati's quarterback, Brendan Sorsby, is a pretty decent little player. Obviously, you got Eli Holstein from Pittsburgh, but Eli Holstein is a freshman. So do you want to bring in that guy and just send a nuke off in your quarterback room? Honestly, the guy that sort of – jumps out to me on this list of guys that's really a possibility maybe is Noah Fifita from Arizona. I think he's having he's thrown a bunch of interceptions now. That's something to definitely look at, but he's not necessarily surrounded by a ton, but he's been a pretty decent little quarterback for Arizona. that could be a name to watch. I don't think there's really any legitimate name to watch for yet, because it'd be kind of illegal if there was. It'd kind of be against the rules if a name was out there. But if I had to pick, just based off this list, I mean, I like Gio Lopez from South Alabama, even though he is a he's a freshman and it's a non P5 school. But if I had to pick somebody, I guess I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe Josh Hoover. Let's see. Against Stanford, I say he was bad. Hell, he was no, that was the first game. Against Houston, he was let's see. He was 23 of 37 in a loss for 233, two touchdowns, two interceptions. He's thrown six interceptions over the last three games, but he's thrown for a pile of yards. He's thrown for over 2,000 yards already, 16 touchdowns and six interceptions. So I guess if I had to pick somebody, I'd say Josh Hoover from TCU. That's who I'd roll with. I think he could probably run Hughes' offense pretty well. Obviously, you got to think about Caden Salter. There's the connection there. So, I mean, that's going to be a guy that's going to be at the top of the list for a while. So I'm going to let's answer two more and then roll with it and then call it a night. This one's just from Freeze. What do you think of the backup quarterback situation next year? Portal starter. We need a backup that can win games. Well, I mean, you're going to have Hank Brown, unless he goes somewhere, which he shouldn't. It would make no sense for him to. You're going to have Hank Brown, Walker White, and Deuce Knight. I guess if Holden Garner too, unless Holden goes somewhere, which he seems like he's going to be an Auburn guy until they kick him out. He's going to be Van Wilder at Auburn. I think you got a pretty decent backup situation next year. There's not many guys that I think across the country that you could go to as a backup and feel comfortable they're going to be able to win games. But I think you could go to Hank in a tie and after an injury and still be okay. Feel like you can win games. So I think you get a portal guy, see what happens on your roster. And if you lose another one, bring in another young portal guy. But all in all, I think you're going to go into the year next year with four guys, one of them being a one and done. And then you're going to have an all out brawl for the quarterback spot in 2026. I think that's kind of what I see. I think that's going to be it for tonight. I think that's really good bye week chatter, really good bye week talk. I don't know how much more we can add to this, but we got to get back to work this week. We got to get back to the grind and figure out ways, find ways to win games. And I think that's going to be the key moving forward. It doesn't matter how it looks. Does not matter what the box score says. Doesn't matter what the stats say. Got to come out with some dubs. Got to come out with something you can sell and feel good about moving into 2025, like finishing out this class and getting ready for next year when the pressure is going to be up and everybody's going to be kind of expecting you to make a run. So, guys, I really appreciate you joining in. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Tell a friend about it. And you know we're going to be back every single day this week. It's game week, and we are ready to get back after it. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.